13. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the sunny suburbs of Chicago. I really appreciate you joining me today on RBN. For people who can handle the truth, their website is Republic Broadcasting. Republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit Spingola.com, click on the radio schedule button, and then on the appropriate month. During the program, email your questions or comments to Spingola1@yahoo.com. Otherwise, send your comments to Deanna@Spingola.com when we are off the air. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website, Spingola.com, or by going to Spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. President Franklin D. Roosevelt sold out Poland and China at Yalta in February 1945 and delivered Eastern Europe to Stalin and the godless communist threat. His military superiors prevented General George S. Patton from marching his troops into Eastern Germany, specifically Berlin, or into Prague, or into the Czech, Romanian, Hungarian, or Yugoslav territories, where the Allies absolutely relinquished thousands of vulnerable people to the Soviet liberators. On April 22, 1945, Drew Pearson of the Washington Post wrote, and I quote, "Though it may get official denial, the real fact is that American advance patrols on Friday, April 13th, the day after President Roosevelt's death, were in Potsdam, which is to Berlin what the Bronx is to New York City, but the next day withdrew from the Berlin suburbs to the River Elbe about 50 miles south. This withdrawal was ordered largely because of a previous agreement with the Russians that they were to occupy Berlin and because of their insistence that the agreement be kept," unquote. He stated that the politicians had arranged these circumstances at Yalta. Now, there is one popular military leader that opposed the military machinations occurring in Germany. That was General George S. Patton. And to talk about him today, we have as our guest Robert K. Wilcox, whose website is robertkwilcox.com. He is the author of several books, including a novel. Today we're going to discuss Target Patton, the plot to assassinate General George S. Patton. Bob, welcome to the program.
Hi, Deanna. Thanks for having me here.
Oh, well, it's wonderful to have you back. We talked once before, but it's been at least over a year. And so I really think that this is an important book and one that we need to talk about not just once, but more than once.
Well, good deal. You know, it's a story that that is still unsolved. Patton, I believe, was murdered. I think if I took it to a court of law, actually to a grand jury, we'd get an indictment. Whether or not the jury would return a guilty verdict, I don't know. But there is certainly an awful lot of mystery and incriminating evidence that he was murdered. And you got right to it. There are many, many motives for this, and that is probably the easiest part of the story. But high on the list certainly was that he opposed the taking of Europe as we gave it away to the Russians.
Bob, we are going to take a quick 3-minute break, and we'll pick this up on the other side. Right back.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the 5-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay, all the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. an area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Robert K. Wilcox. His website is robertkwilcox.com. And if the grand jury were to use your book as evidence, I'm certain that they would convict. But who would a grand jury indict if that were the case, if there was one?
Well, that's a toughie. I have traced it in the book. The OSS head, General Donovan, gives the order to Douglas Bezzotta, who was a trained assassin, a jet bird, an OSS special operations guy who did that kind of thing. At least that's what Bezzotta says, and Bezzotta's story is quite a story. He's a sterling a fighter who jumped behind enemy lines in France, in Nazi-occupied France. And everything that I could find out about him was true. He told me this story. So it goes to Donovan, but I don't think that Donovan was the person who originated this. Donovan had a unique situation. He was the head of the OSS. The OSS was the forerunner of our CIA today, our first large intelligence, national intelligence gathering organization and special operations organization. And he only got his orders from the very highest people, starting with FDR. They would have regular meetings. Marshall, who of course was high up there and headed all of the military. So where the order came from, I can't tell you, but the best we've been able to trace is Donovan told it to Bezzotta. It's quite a story. There were many, many, many meetings about this, and it started off with just a stop Patton order. Patton, they knew, was their bulldog. He would really win the war for them, but they wanted him on a leash. They didn't want him to go further. The administration was very leftist-oriented, and in fact, Venona, our breaking of the Russian codes, now shows that there were high-level Russian agents all over our government, even in the highest levels in, with FDR. And so I couldn't tell you who it is. That's the farthest I've traced it.
All righty. Well, as you mentioned, the Roosevelt administration did have a lot of very left-leaning, well, they were communists, actually, who had come over and infiltrated. And but would you say that both Truman and Roosevelt share equal responsibility for the military operations? Because Roosevelt did die, and then Truman kind of took over. Could Truman have stopped the ongoing direction of the war?
No, I don't think. I mean, of course he could have, but you have to understand what happened to Truman. Truman comes in. He wasn't even a very favored guy in that administration. He was put in there for political reasons because FDR didn't want to look too leftist. And so he came in right after FDR died. There were only a few more months of the war. I don't think he really knew what was going on, and I certainly don't think he was the big factor there. Behind the scenes, Marshall had been there throughout the whole war. What was going on militarily had already been plotted, had already been agreed to. It was going to happen whether or not. It's interesting about Truman and what part he might have played in the death of Patton, if in fact Patton was murdered, because Patton dies in almost by 1946. The war's over 6 to 8 months already. Truman was definitely beginning to take hold of everything. Was he involved in that? I still don't think so, but I don't know. He was still gathering his own forces and beginning to see how treacherous the Russians were. So, no, I don't. I it's just my opinion, but I think that the forces were already moving very strongly when Truman came in, and he had little to do with the very endings of the war or the mechanisms that were going on. They were already set in place.
Okay. So tell us exactly what occurred with the accident. And why? What is the reason? What is the reason, specifically, why they didn't want Patton to move forward? Was it because Stalin said that if he didn't get his way, that he wouldn't join the UN? Or what were some of the motivations there? Do you know?
Well, why they would have killed Patton, or the motivation is probably the easiest part of this whole story. I think it was because, number one, he wanted to fight the Russians. Nobody in our administration wanted to do that. Nobody wanted to fight anyway. We just fought a tremendous war, the worst war in history. He wanted to do that, and he was egging it on to do it. He was very prescient. Patton was. He saw the treachery of the Russians. FDR seems to have been very enamored with the Russians. I don't know why. Of course, he was a leftist himself, and maybe that was the reason. But Patton hated the Russians. He'd seen what they'd done. He was badgering to go in and stop them. At the end of the war, he was nearly in tears. He caught the very end of the war, the last day, he called all the journalists in, and he said, look, we have fought this terrible dictator, Hitler. We've liberated Europe from his clutches, only to give him into a worse clutch, into this this Soviet clutch, which was going to be much worse. He saw that. Nobody else did. Everybody thought, oh, the Russians are so nice, and they're going to, they were our allies, and they were going to, and you mentioned the UN. That was one of FDR's beliefs, and one of his great passions was to start the UN so that there would never be war again, which is an absurd idea, in my opinion. You just can't stop these things. People are always going to want to war. But he thought that the United Nations would stop it, and he needed the Russians to be in on that, and that was one of the things that he said, that he that we have to cooperate with the Russians. And FDR would not allow anyone to say anything bad about the Russians. Officers were banished because of that. So I believe that that's the number one reason. Another reason is that he might have been killed is that he knew secrets about the war which would have killed the political ambitions of certain people, especially, for instance, Eisenhower. Eisenhower was a great diplomat, and that, in fact, was his main purpose over there. He was a terrible war fighter. Several times he had really botched it. You can begin with the Falaise Gap. Early on in the campaign, after D-Day, as Patton was roaring through France and chasing the Germans back and beating them bloody, they were surrounded. The huge army they had in France was surrounded at Falaise. And we could have annihilated the real heart of the German army there. But Montgomery wasn't able to close that gap. And Eisenhower wouldn't let Patton, who was ready to pounce, go ahead and annihilate that army. And while we still killed a lot at Falaise, a large number got away. And it was those same guys who came back at us at the Battle of the Bulge. If we'd have killed them there, the war might have been over very soon, especially since Patton was chasing them right into Germany. And the German high command will tell you, at that point, when they ran back into Germany, they were a beaten army. If they'd have allowed Patton to go into Germany at that point, he probably would have just opened up a swath in there, and the war could have been over. As it occurred, though, we stopped Patton at the border of Germany because, again, Montgomery wanted to do this failed bridge too far thing, and it failed. They literally stole gas from Patton. And this operation, Market Garden, failed, and the Germans who had escaped, many of them who had escaped from Falaise, were the same ones who came back and hit us at the Battle of the Bulge. And, you know, the Battle of the Bulge, if it hadn't have been for brave men at that point right there, those brave paratroopers, and Patton coming up and saving Eisenhower's bacon, the Bulge could have pushed us right back into the sea, and the war would have gone on. And contrary, or in the other vein, if we'd have let Patton kill them at Falaise and go into Germany, the war might have been over 6 to 8 months ahead of time. Imagine the Americans who wouldn't have died. Imagine all the people who wouldn't have died if the war had ended in 45, in 44, in August or September.
Certainly.
That's really a great one.
All righty, we do have a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Listen up. This isn't some Detroit car commercial. And this isn't how we do it, not in any America I know. We don't take away the rights and call it public safety. We don't burden folks with something called Obamacare and call it affordable. We don't take what you earn and call it a fair share. That's not America. That's not how it's done. In my country, in my America, earning has always been better than receiving. If that's what you believe, this is America, and we're about to show you how it's supposed to be done. Step up and be heard by participating at AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Join us and stand up for the America you know at AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. That's how it's done. Now do it. You have a voice. Now use it.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of balance concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems, then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Robert K. Wilcox. His website is robertkwilcox.com. And we were talking about the battles. And do you think that deliberate inefficiency was something to just keep the war going? Because we have a lot of that now. We have people, politicians who feign, just inefficiency and stupidity. And yet we know that they really know what they're doing, and that it's just sort of, they can say, oh gosh, we didn't know that was going to happen. My goodness. But it happens. Well, things happen.
Well, if you're talking about World War II, of course, there's always inefficiency in war. Things work, things don't work, et cetera. But I think the effort was total in World War II. And whether you were everyone was trying to win that war. You have good people and bad people. You have good decisions and bad decisions. Today, it's a totally different story, in my opinion. There's a lot of inefficiency, and yet, you have good people and bad people. So I don't see that had a lot to do with what happened to Patton. In specifics, Patton himself was stopped many ways, but this was done deliberately because of what I said before. So I just don't know the answer to that.
Regarding Eisenhower, I mean, we know that he was a womanizer. He was a political appointment. Roosevelt appointed him above and over dozens of other more qualified officers who had seniority. So he was put into place for, I believe, a particular agenda. that didn't include winning the war, that did not include not giving the Soviets half of Europe.
Well, I'll tell you what. Eisenhower was a friend of Marshall's. Marshall being the runner of the war and the person that FDR talked to. And it was just because of their friendship that he was given that job. And his main job, you know, Eisenhower, and I'm glad you brought this up, because Eisenhower is another mysterious figure in this, too, and I should have mentioned him as one of those on the upper level. In my opinion, Eisenhower was mostly a yes man. His job was to keep all this coalition of English and all the other foreigners and the Russians happy over there. He was also to do to run the invasion, but that was pretty much dictated to him by Marshall. Marshall is the real figure here. Marshall's the person who called the shots and who made this. I think that I would have said that Eisenhower was just a yes man until, you know, little bits and pieces about Eisenhower that you don't know. I believe that Eisenhower fully went along with whatever was planned for Patton and would have executed it. And since I wrote the book, Target Patton, I've been contacted by numerous people who know more about this than what I was able to dig up. And one of them is a very outstanding industrialist in Canada. And I won't mention his name, but he called me and said, all my life I have had this secret, and because of your book, I want to tell you what happened. And what it turned out to be, as a young boy, he grew up in Germany, and he told me a fascinating story of just before Patton was murdered, he was a translator on a train that Eisenhower used. It had actually been Hitler's train, and Eisenhower used it in Germany while during the occupation. And he was a translator there. And he, one day, Patton came to the train, and he saw Eisenhower and Patton arguing vigorously. And suddenly, Patton turned on a dime and stomped off. It was obvious they'd had a big fight. And Eisenhower came back into the car and said, I don't know what we're going to do with this guy. This guy is ruining everything. And I'm getting a little ahead of the story, but I'm just telling you something about Eisenhower. He went into a meeting which this German turned Canadian listened to, and in effect what they said is, what are we going to do with this guy? And one guy said, well, don't worry about it. We'll take care of him. 2 weeks later, Patton shows up dead in a casket, and it was that train that took him to Luxembourg to be interned with his men. That story really put in perspective to me the fact of what I had seen all through this, that Eisenhower treated Patton terribly. They had been friends before the war, but whenever he could use Patton, he used him to get victories. But then he actually made fun of Patton's loyalty, which was a real strong point in Patton. Even though Patton was
take a break. I just love hearing these kinds of stories. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Robert K. Wilcox. His website is robertkwilcox.com. He is the author of Target Patton, The Plot to Assassinate General George S. Patton. And that was published in 2008. And so you were mentioning that since then you've heard from other people, including this Canadian, who came from Germany, who was a translator. And that is a very interesting, very revealing story that he tells. What other things have you learned since publishing the book?
Well, the paperback came out just 2 years ago, and in that there was a great journalist named Ralph Toledano, and he had started Newsweek. He was a top editor there, and had also been involved in I think William F. Buckley's magazine, starting it, maybe that's what I meant when I said Newsweek, but he was a top editor for Newsweek. Anyway, Toledano, he died, but he had sent me some stuff in which he, one of the things that I couldn't find were people who actually knew that it was a murder and believed it was a murder and had been told it was a murder. Credible people like in the CIA or in the State Department and these kind of things. And he sent me a list of about 10 people that he said, they've told me about this. I knew this all the time. So that is in the paperback and is not in the original hardback. I want to be clear, in Target patent, it's very, very detailed. And the crux of the matter was, and I could have never written the book, that it's a possibility, and I believe that Patton was murdered, if I hadn't have found an OSS agent who said that he did it. He caused the accident. And also a former intelligence officer for Patton who said he uncovered the plot and he tried to stop the plot to kill Patton in this car accident. And he was actually jailed by Donovan and fled for his life and lived for 4 years underground in America. Now, both Bezzada and Skubic, Stephen Skubic, this CIC agent that I just spoke about, are very credible people. Both of them went on to work in the administrations of presidents later on. Bezzada worked for Reagan and worked directly for John Lehman, the Secretary of the Navy. Stephen Skubic worked for Eisenhower as an advisor on Eastern European nations and so on, and became a very top prudential insurance agent. So these are credible people who told me about this. And they were the basis. When you find people like that and you tell their stories and they are credible, you have to give some weight to it. And so then the mystery unfolds and you see, you know, one of the things that's very important to understand is history is written by the people in power. And at the time that Patton died, it was the FDR administration, even though he was dead. A very strong leftist administration, and they put it to bed as an accident. Not that they knew it wasn't an accident. I mean, they did somewhere high up, I believe. But the journalists themselves, when the top people tell you this is the way it is, why, they believed it, and they did it. And so it came down, you know, the history is written by the left. Most of your historians are left-wing. So they continued this, and it never, ever came out that there was anything more than just a simple accident. And when the historians in their books say that, well, you know, it's hard to go against that. So 50 years later, someone comes along and begins to look at the accident itself, which they never did. The history of Patton has been written by great historians, but the death of Patton has not. And that's where I spent my time on it. And, I uncover many, many mysteries about this that were never, ever given any kind of circulation.
Right. And it's amazing. And I think your book has been very popular. Have you had anybody make any kinds of threats or have you had a lot of negative response? I mean,
no, I haven't had.
So
there, of course, is a resistance to this, but the book is actually selling continually, and word of mouth is getting around, and it's very, very prominent right now, and doing very well, as anyone who checks Amazon can see. But it's funny, I had to laugh when you said, "Have you had any threats?" I haven't had any threats. You know, this is a long time. I don't think the people who did this are alive. But I got a letter from a Russian. And this was the funniest. He had heard me on a show like this one, and he sent me an email at my website. And I mean, it was, "You son of a bitch, you! I know why Stalin said you better." And he just got mad as he could be. It was really a funny rant that he got to me, because in effect, if Patton was murdered, and as Bezzada told me, the accident was set up by a joint OSS NKVD operation. He was with a Russian agent when they did this. And of course, the only person that was in Stalin's way, the only person that could stop him from taking over Eastern Europe, was George Patton. So, and one of the things that Steven Skubic, this one of the two intelligence officers that I write about extensively in here, found out was that Stalin put Patton on a hit list. The NKVD, which was the forerunner of their, I forget what they're called now.
KGB?
Yeah, the KGB. He was on their hit list. They wanted to kill him because he was the guy that could stop them. He was still agitating to go. And if Patton had lived, he would have gone home and he would have done everything in his power, including run for office to fight the Russians. So this was the one obstacle. So no question, Stalin wanted him killed, and well, that's the answer to that.
Right. Okay. So, but most of it has been pretty positive.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I lost train of thought of what you had asked me. Yes, tremendously. I get letters every week on this. People have their eyes opened when they read this because nobody knows that it was so mysterious and so many. There's so many unanswered questions. If I may, I can just go through that with you, and
sure.
we can hit it point by point. But you know, you start off with this accident. Patton. It's the last day Patton is here. Is in occupied Europe. He's been banished. He's been put in a little place where they want him to keep his mouth shut. He's going home. He's going to tell all. And he decides to go on a hunting trip. And on the outskirts of Mannheim, there's this, it's on a Sunday morning, nothing's going on. There's a truck waiting for him on the side of the road. It starts up, he has to stop, he's in a limousine. He has to stop at a railroad track.
He's got a driver. He's in the back, right?
There are three people in the car. Patton on one side in the back, General Gay, his aide, on the other side, and a driver driving this limousine. Plus, there's a sergeant in a jeep leading the way, and is a little ahead of him, and is actually has gone ahead, which is mysterious in itself, and I'll explain that later, but. Anyway, when they start up again from this railroad track after the train has passed, there's a truck way, way down the road. This is a two-lane highway in a remote section of Germany. And this truck, when Patton starts up, the truck starts up, strange in itself. And then it starts coming towards the Patton limousine. They're not going very fast. They're going 20, 30 miles an hour, and suddenly, without any signal or anything, the truck veers in front of it, makes a left turn, and Patton's driver can't get out of this way, and he bangs into it. It's a fender bender. It's not a big crash. Patton ends up with a broken neck, and the other two people in the driver and Gay, they're not hurt at all. This is in a remote area, and I'm telling you, within 5 minutes, the place is swarming with all kinds of high brass and all types of people that shouldn't be there. And we know that there are all types of reports made. Well, one of the first things that I did when I went to try to find out about this is, well, I'll go get the police report, and we'll start there. There is no police report. And in fact, when you go through all of what I have gone through, you realize there are at least five investigations and reports that were made that day. They all vanished. There's nothing there. I think there are at least eight. Now, one or two to have been lost in the archives. Yes, okay, I'll buy that as coincidence. But five, eight? That's a cover up. There's no question in my mind about that. Well, what do they do with
those? Those are in the department where they keep the Ark of the Covenant.
I don't know.
I'm
I don't know.
I'm just
I don't know if the Ark of the Covenant is there, but I'll tell you what: the National Archives has everything that we... Oh, you're making a joke, I think, maybe.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I get very involved
in this
stuff.
This is an intense subject. It's okay. I thought I would add a little levity here.
I see what you mean. Exactly. They've all disappeared. And then what happens to Patton? Well, he's there with a broken neck. These other two have nothing on. There's no problem for them. And they put him in an ambulance, which finally arrives about 15 minutes later. And they don't take him to Mannheim, which they're on the outskirts of, in which there is a hospital where they could treat him. They take him 30 miles down the road to another hospital, way far away. That's debatable. I mean, they take him to a bigger hospital, and maybe they really did feel that way. And there are even reports that on the way to the hospital, he was attacked and hurt again. But I don't give much credence to those. Anyway, he gets to the hospital. He is admitted, and he's in very bad shape. He's basically paralyzed from the neck down, and they don't think he's going to have much. He's going to live very long. You know, he doesn't have much chance to survive. But Patton's a tough guy. He rallies, and within a week and a half, he's ready to be flown home. Now, flying home in those days not the same as flying home today. It would have taken 10 hours, a tough, tough trip. But he's recuperated that much. He's got some feeling back in the extremities, and, you know, he's going to maybe make it. And then they've already packed his bags. He's ready to go the next day, and he has a sudden relapse. He has what's called an embolism, many embolisms. These are the blood clots that come into his brain, and he dies. Right when he's about ready to go, it's just very strange. He dies, and there's no autopsy. This is the highest-ranking general in the theater at that time, and there's no autopsy? You ask me, have I heard from things? People, after reading my book, one guy wrote me who had been a nurse at the time, even an army nurse, in that hospital.
And, so was it a military hospital, an American military hospital that they took him to?
Yes, it was an American military hospital. It's in Heidelberg, and it's still running today. It's a huge, big place. It was a very, and he said to me, he said, what are they talking about? You see, the doctors today, they said there was no way to conduct an autopsy. One doctor, his doctor, said that. His doctor, who mysteriously is sending reports in secret to Marshall about Patton. Why does Marshall need secret reports? Everybody, there's hundreds of journalists there reporting on Patton's every move in the hospital. They don't need secret reports, but that's another mysterious. So, but they said they couldn't do an autopsy, and this former orderly there, nurse there, said, of course we could have done an autopsy. We did them all the time there. So, mystery after mystery. So, you've got these two very credible people who tell me that one of whom, who said he set up the accident, Douglas Bezzata. And that's all, you know, in the book I explain exactly what happened and how Bezzata did that and how he caused the accident and some very interesting details about how it was caused. And, you know, when you look prior to the accident, Patton, I believe he was it was attempted to murder him at least three times before that.
Really?
One time, if you ever saw the famous movie that about Patton, that great movie, at the very end of it, a cart comes roaring down an alley and just misses him. Well, that actually happened. And in another one, there was another accident, an earlier accident, in which he was almost decapitated by a scythe that was just narrowly missed him. A scythe being one of those things that they cut. You see, that's the Russian symbol. But the most telling to me is that right at the end of the war, Patton is in a small airplane. He had a little Piper Cub-like airplane in which he would fly to his various troops and see what was going on. And there is a flight of four Spitfires. They're not British who make the Spitfire, but they're Polish. And by this time, the Poles are under the Russian dictates. And these four Polish Spitfires, one of them peels off and attacks his little Piper Cub. And if it wasn't for the ability of his pilot, he would have shot him down, but they didn't. We'll pick it up later.
Oh, my goodness. All righty. We're going to a break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors.
The five self-evident truths of the Declaration of Independence are the standing definition of our Republican form of government. Each unalienable right has an attached duty because we are all created equal. Like the right, the duty is permanent and non-transferable. There can be no paper to lien the right and no paper to waive the duty. Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed does not mean if you can think of it, you can consent to it. Truly, it names a condition where a right must be held without violation of its duty by both parties who can then consent. Our grand jury has been destroyed without the consent or the right. Return the grand jury customarily impaneled by the elected county sheriff and one where people can appear with information. McGilvery Machine Company, Reading, Michigan. Innovative research and development of prototype industrial equipment since 1988.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Time to relax and unwind. What better way to do so than with Santa Barbara Bells? For over 25 years, our wind chimes have been helping people to relax and enjoy life. Turn your home environment into a pleasurable experience. From the small overture chime to the large super bass, you will find just the right chime to enjoy. All wood, strings, and cordage are protected for long life, and all parts are rust-proof. You have 10 sizes to choose from. To see and hear more of the chimes, go to SantaBarbaraBells.com or call us at 805-733-1513. Santa Barbara Bells is currently having a springtime sale. Come to the website and save up to 50% on all of our chimes. SantaBarbaraBells.com.
Deanna. Our guest today is Robert K. Wilcox. His website is robertkwilcox.com. He is the author of several books, including a novel, but today we are talking about Target Patton, the plot to assassinate General George S. Patton. Okay, so you were talking about the Polish people trying to attack this Piper Cub.
Yeah, it was very lucky. I wouldn't indict the Poles on this. I would say if it happened, it was a Russian situation, flying Polish, or at least, an agent doing that. the Poles certainly didn't want to hurt Patton. They loved him, but they'd been taken over by the Russians. So he got away because of that, and because his pilot was good enough. His pilot hugged the ground, and there was hills there. And what happened was the attacking, which shot right into the into his Piper Cub. Patton said he was so scared, and you can read this in his diary about this. He's so scared that he forgot to take the lens off of his camera, because even being scared, he's sitting there trying to photograph this thing going on, but he didn't take the lens off, which of course is the definition of courage, which Patton had tons of. When they got on the ground, they were going to find out about this, but it never really was resolved. There's never any more information that I could get. I went all the way to Poland. I didn't go there. I had people in Poland looking for this, and they just couldn't pin it down. But one of the most interesting things for me was the my visit to the Patton Museum to see the Patton car, which for decades has been advertised there in Kentucky. There's the Patton Museum, that they have the car in which Patton was injured. This is it. And so I said, well, great, you know, this will be the one chance that I'll have to sort of, you know, be on the scene of the crime. I'll be able to actually see something that was involved in the crime itself. So I had an expert on this was a limousine. It's a Cadillac limousine, a specific model. And I'm thinking right now, 1936, 1937. I forget exactly what it was. 1939. Here I found it here. 1939 Cadillac. And I brought the expert from Detroit, the Cadillac expert. He agreed to come with me to go look at this thing. And I figured I'd see the blood in it and so on. Well, no, there's no blood in it. And we start looking through it, and my expert, after considerable examination, said, this is not a 1939, it's a 38. And then he found, as we looked deeper, that the VIN number, which all cars have,
right, vehicle identification number.
Yeah, it's what the police use. That it had been scratched out. You can see it in my book, Target Patton. You'll see the pictures of this. Someone has actually scratched it out. All right.
Very suspicious. We are going to our 60-second top of the hour break. We'll be right back after station ID.